Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
Hello, Good Shepherd. Pastor Chad here. I want to thank you all for praying for our family this past week. As Christy and I have been sick with COVID, thank you for praying for us. Happy to report that we're improving little by little each day. I had a couple rough days. Christy had a couple of rough days, but we're definitely heading in the right direction. Definitely had moderate symptoms, and so thankful that it wasn't any worse than what it was. So thank you for praying. Thank you to all of you who sent texts, emails, or give us a call, or asked if there was something to bring, or brought food by. Whatever it was, we're so grateful for a loving and caring church family. Just continue to pray for Christy. She has, in the last couple days, had some back issues. Figuring out if it's a pinched nerve or a muscle spasm, but that's been cause for some pain. So pray that that's not going to be a setback to her COVID recovery. But we're excited. Today is the first Sunday in Advent. Very exciting time of year. Was not the first Sunday in Advent that I was picturing. So bummed that we can't be there with you today, but excited to start a new series that's going to take us through Advent this year. And it's called God's Plan Fulfilled. And this is the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1 and 2. And one thing that I really want to drive home in this theme is that all the details of the Christmas story and all the sub-stories surrounding the Christmas story are all pieces to the great redemption story that God is writing and that God is fulfilling. Again, we're talking about God's plan fulfilled. And sometimes we tend to think of it just being simply the Christmas story in Luke 2 that is part of God's plan being fulfilled. But really, when you think about it, all of Scripture is ultimately a fulfillment of God's plan of redemption. From the very beginning in Genesis, after God created the heavens and the earth and all of creation, and after the fall of mankind into sin, God has had a plan to rescue his people. We know that that promise went forth in Genesis 3:15, that God promised a savior. He promised what the Jews called the Messiah. He promised who we know as Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world to live a perfect life. God who became man and came to this earth and gave himself for mankind, for the forgiveness of our sins, who died on the cross and 3 days later rose again from the dead. And what we celebrate at Christmas really is just a piece of that story. It is a very crucial piece to that story, a very pivotal moment in history in which God left his throne in heaven and became human, came to this earth, came as a baby of all things, of all people, became like one of us, and became very weak and became very helpless, and was born in a stable and laid in a manger of all places. And so it's just an incredible part of that story, but it really is just one piece of that story, a very crucial part. But God is fulfilling and continues to fulfill his plan of redemption for mankind. Galatians 4:4-5 says it this way: "But when the fullness of time had come," or when it was just the right time, it says, "God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." And so that verse right there speaks about how God had it so carefully planned out and so carefully timed out. And ultimately his purpose was to redeem us, to buy us back as sinners who cannot save themselves. And we know that sin separates us from a holy God. And because of what Jesus has done for us in coming to this earth and dying on the cross for us, because of that, we can be redeemed. We can be forgiven and we can be made right in God's eyes. It says, so that we might receive adoption as sons, so that we can be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. It's such an amazing part of that story. And today, the story that we're going to be looking at is the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And what we're going to see in their story is that God has a greater purpose. He had a greater purpose for them, but God has a greater purpose for you, and God has a greater purpose for me than more than what we can see right now, whether it be in your current circumstances and something difficult or painful that you're going through. Maybe you're just going through a season of disappointment. Maybe you're getting to the end of your life and you're feeling like, you know, what's the point? What's the point of life anymore? Why am I still here? Why does God have me still here? Well, I want you to know, wherever you're at in life, whether you are young or whether you are old, whether you are going through something difficult right now, or whether things are smooth sailing, God has a greater purpose for you right now, a purpose that He is fulfilling. And just some opening comments about the book of Luke. In the opening of Luke's letter, note what he says about his writing. He says, right at the very beginning, he says, "I have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished," or some versions say, "the things that have been fulfilled among us." Remember, we're talking about God's plan being fulfilled. In other words, I want to emphasize that these words, these stories, what he records here, these events are not just random events that happened in history. Luke points us again to God's ultimate plan of redemption. And what I want you to know is that what we're about to read, not only today, but as we go through Advent and look at Luke 1 and 2, everything we're about to read is all a part of God's plan to rescue mankind. And that is an incredible thing. And that is such a privilege for us to be able to open God's word and read it and hear it and seek to understand it. And so I'm going to start reading Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 5 through verse 7. And you can follow along with me. Luke 1, 5 through 7. "In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were well advanced in years." So it starts out talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they sound like pretty amazing people. They sound like great people, don't they? It says that they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in the commands and the statutes of the Lord. We know that, of course, they were not perfect. No human except for Jesus was perfect. So they were not perfect, but it describes them as these beautiful, devoted followers of God who consistently walked in the ways of the Lord. I would want to be friends with this couple. I would want this couple as mentors to me and to my family, who are walking blamelessly before God and following all His commands. It's really an inspiration to us. But that's not all to their story. It says, but they had no child. It says, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were well advanced in years. Now, I want you to put yourself in their shoes. This was not the story that they had imagined. And to make it worse, in those days, there was a stigma among the Jewish people that if you weren't able to have children, there must be something wrong with you. There must be something wrong in your marriage. There was a false teaching out there that if a woman was barren, it maybe had to do with sin in her life or sin in the family. And the thought was, well, you must have done something to deserve that suffering. And I want to make something very clear here today, is that suffering does not equal punishment for sin. I want to say that again. Suffering does not equal punishment for sin. Sometimes, maybe God is trying to get our attention, or maybe He is trying to root out sin in our life. And we know that he does have His own way of dealing with sin in our life, and we know there are consequences to sin. But suffering and the painful parts of your story does not mean that you have unconfessed sin in your life. It could be, but it doesn't automatically mean that. Suffering and the painful parts of our story are ultimately the effects of the fall of mankind into sin. And that is precisely why Jesus came to this earth to rescue us from this broken world. And so suffering ultimately is about sin being in the world and about mankind that has fallen into sin, and that we are born with a sinful nature, that we have brokenness in our world all around us. But even in all of that, God has a greater purpose, and God has a greater purpose in your story. Wherever you find yourself, whether you're in a season of rejoicing or whether you're in a season of pain, or maybe you're in a season of feeling a lack of purpose, and I want you to know that your story is not over. Why? Why do I know that? Because you're watching this today. You're hearing this today. And you're here seeking God today. And God may be speaking to you right now. If you have responded to Jesus as a follower of Him, if you have called upon the name of the Lord, if you know God and love God, guess what? This promise is true for you. Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." If you have been called according to His purpose, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are called upon the name of the Lord, you can rest assured that God has a greater purpose in your story. God has a greater purpose in what you're going through right now. God has a greater purpose in everything that we go through. And God is continuing to write your story. And we see that with Zechariah and Elizabeth, is that God's not done with them. Even though it talks about Elizabeth being barren, we read on to read just this incredible story, this incredible fulfillment that God brings about in their life. And the second lesson, the first lesson is, of course, that God has a greater purpose in your story. And the second lesson that we're going to continue to look at is that God has a greater purpose in your serving. God has a greater purpose in your serving. And that's what we see with Zechariah. Let's continue at verse 8. It says, "Now while he, Zechariah, was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense." And so the way that this worked was that it was only priests from a particular family line who could serve in the temple. And there were said to be as many as 20,000 priests. Imagine that, 20,000 priests in the time of Jesus. And so of these 20,000, they used lots. Then they cast lots to determine which priests would serve when. And scholars even note that the lot to serve might fall to a priest maybe only once in his life. And so this was a really big deal. This was a huge deal for Zechariah, probably the biggest event in Zechariah's life. And I'm sure that he had wondered what it's like back there in the Holy of Holies, you know, in the temple, and doing this job as the priest and offering the incense. And offering the incense was considered the most privileged duty. Now, I want you to listen as you as we continue to read here, starting at verse 10. It says, "And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared.'" So what I want to ask you is, was there a greater purpose in Zechariah's serving? Friends, I want you to listen. This is what our God does. He takes our story of how we think things should go, and he turns it completely upside down to fulfill his purposes in the process. And for Zechariah and Elizabeth, never in their wildest dreams did they ever imagine having a son in their old age. And not only that, but God had a plan for this child, John. They would name him John. And this, of course, then would be John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had one primary role in his life. His primary role was to prepare the way for Jesus, to make straight the path for Jesus, and to prepare the hearts of the people to receive what Jesus had for the world. It says in verse 17, this is what John would do. It says, "To make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And we know that John was quite a character. This kid would be one of a kind, as we come to find out later. Now, what I want you to know, what I want you to see in this story, is that God has a greater purpose in your service to him, not only Zechariah's service to him. See, Zechariah was just going about his duty, and his duty to come and serve in the priesthood, and then the lot fell to him, and God comes and brings this news through the angel that Elizabeth would have a son even in their old age, and that it would be John the Baptist, as we know him. And so God had a greater purpose in their story. He had a greater purpose in their serving, and I want you to know that God has a greater purpose in your serving too. And what I mean by serving is that we are all servants. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a servant of his. He's placed you where you are in your job right now, in this time, in this season, for a purpose. He's placed you in your school. If you're a student, he's placed you in your school for such a time as this. He's placed others of you in your home, in your family, right now here for these moments in which we're living right now. He's placed you in the church right now. He's placed you at Good Shepherd Church. And when we fully yield to His will, we will watch Him do incredible things, ultimately to fulfill His redemption story. And that's what we see in Zechariah, is that Zechariah and Elizabeth were faithful to the Lord. They were devoted followers of Him, and Zechariah was there faithfully to fulfill his responsibility at the temple, and God worked mightily through that. In fact, God even is using this as part of fulfilling His redemption story. Oswald Chambers, in a devotional of his entitled Submitting to God's Purpose, he says this: "It is not you that have gotten God, but that He has gotten you. God is at work bending, breaking, molding, and doing exactly as He chooses in your life. And why is He doing this? He is doing it only for one purpose, that He may be able to say, 'This is my man,' or 'This is my woman.' We have to be in God's hand so that He can place others on the rock, Jesus Christ, just as He has placed us. Once God has placed His call upon you, woe be to you if you turn aside to the right or to the left. He will do with you what He never did before His call came to you. And He will do with you what He is not doing with other people. Let Him have His way." That's what I want to encourage you with today in your serving, wherever He's placed you, in your work, in your schooling, in church, in some other ministry that He has you involved in, or whether it's in just your day-to-day witnessing for Jesus Christ. Let Him have His way. Let Him mold you. Let Him break you. Let Him bend you. Let Him shape you, all for His glory, all for His honor, and ultimately to fulfill His purpose, not only in your life, but to fulfill the greater purpose that He has for each one of us as part of His redemption story. The last thing that we see, the last lesson that we see about God's greater purpose, is that God has a greater purpose in your silence. So God has a greater purpose in your story. God has a greater purpose in your serving. And God has a greater purpose in your silence. I'm going to finish reading the rest of this story here. Verse 18, "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am a man, an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.' And the angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be filled in their time.'" Verse 18, "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.' And the angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time.' And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that they had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home." And so we see a silence that Zechariah is given. And as we enter into this Advent season, this Christmas season, there's two types of silence that I want to highlight here. And we see them, one right here in Zechariah. We're going to look at another one, another example of silence. And I want you to think about, first of all, thinking about two different types of silences. When someone says, "I'm speechless," or if you found yourself saying that, "Wow, I am speechless right now," what does it usually mean? It usually means one of two things. Number one, it might mean that you've been put in your place. Like you have no words. You've got no response. You've been put in your place and you are silenced. There's just nothing that you can say. Or the other side of it could be that you're speechless just because you're in awe or wonder. Or maybe you're just overwhelmed with gratitude and you're just like, "I have no words. I'm so grateful. I'm just in awe. I'm so much in awe that I just have nothing to say. I'm left speechless." Well, for Zechariah, him being speechless, him being silence, really it was God's discipline. Remember what the angel said, "Because you did not believe my words." Remember what Zechariah asked. He's like, "How shall I know this?" Well, that was the wrong question. Do you really want to know how you're going to know that? Well, you got your wish. You're going to be silent until all of these things are fulfilled because you did not believe the words of the Lord. And not only for Zechariah did he have to shut his mouth and surrender, but God was also going to use this as his way of saying, "You know what? Just be quiet now. Just be quiet and you watch. You just watch me work. Watch what I'm going to do." And there can be times like that in our life where we're maybe not physically silent, but maybe God is using a time or a season in our life to just show him, just to shut us up and to show his powerful hand and how we can just trust him, how we can take him at his word. Now, there's another type of silence we see here, and this one is actually for Elizabeth. I'm going to read the final two verses, verses 24 and 25. It says, "After these days, his wife," Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, "after these days, Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months," it says, "she kept herself hidden, saying, 'Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among the people.'" And so now for Elizabeth, she is having her own version of a silence. She's being kept away and hidden. She kept herself hidden, it says, for 5 months. Imagine how quiet and lonely that would have been. And we don't know all the reasons why she was hidden away for 5 months. We just don't know. But we know that it had to have been very much a time of reflection and a time of silence for her. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Maybe some of you need a season right now like Elizabeth, a time of just stepping back and standing in awe of who God is and his goodness and his mercy upon your life. And I want to encourage you during this Christmas season, whatever type of silence it is for you, whether it's like Zechariah, it's a silence of God proving himself to you, and you are just left silent. Maybe it's more or less a time of discipline for you, a time for you to be quiet and for God to just speak and for you to listen to his voice and to see his hand at work and his plan unfolding in your life. Or maybe it's a silence like Elizabeth, a time of just being in awe and wonder. And I have a challenge for you this Christmas season, this Advent, is to just simply take time to be silent. Whether that, again, is a time of just allowing God to show himself faithful to you, or just a time of quiet reflection, to just stand in awe of who God is and how he has fulfilled his plan of redemption through the birth of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a time and a season this Christmas where you're going to see things in such a fresh way, and you're going to just be completely renewed in your awe and in your own love for God and love for Jesus, our Savior. And so that's my challenge for you this Advent, is take time to be silent. Take time to just really dwell upon this message of salvation, this plan that God is fulfilling in his redemption story, and his goodness and his mercy to come to send his one and only Son, Jesus, to this earth, to himself become a human being, to be born as a baby in such a unique, miraculous way. And so let's together stand in awe of that that mystery, that wondrous story that we've so many of us have heard throughout our lives. May we see it and hear it in a fresh way this Christmas. Amen.